So, a common theme with Mark is that we've seen it's kind of broken up into different bits. So, throughout, we have different stories that we've already read about. I'm going to start off from going from about verses 1 to 10. So, what stood out to me from verse 2? It says that Jesus has compassion of the people that were with him. So, they've been with him for 3 days, and he knows they're hungry, and that Jesus provides for them. So, I think Jesus meets our needs when we need sustenance. Jesus knows our needs, and he is our provider. And I think a really important name for God is Jireh. We've read, you know, Jesus says, "Who do you say I am?" We know that Jesus is a provider. We know that he is Jireh. And these people know that when spending 3 days with Jesus, they don't have any food, but they know that they have their spiritual sustenance. So that makes me kind of ask, what kind of sustenance do we need that Jesus provides for us? So Jesus is also aware of our situation. In verse 3, it says, "If I send them hungry, they will collapse along the way." I think that shows that the Lord understands our circumstances, and he provides for us, and we can trust in him that he is a good provider and that he will always work out for our good. And he's also always on time. And Jesus sees our situation. He sees when we are tired. He knows where we lack. He only asks, "What do you have?" He says, "How many loaves of bread do we have?" It can be one small prayer, but Jesus can still use it to feed and satisfy us with. It begins with the bread that we bring. Verse 14 to 21, what really stood out to me is that it's just a pinch of yeast from the Pharisees, and these kind of leaven, these yeasts can spread throughout the whole bread, and it can grow throughout the entire loaf. What's really important with that is kind of what we let influence us. If it's not the word, if it's not from God, it can grow within us, and it can really affect the way that we view God, and it can affect the way that we trust him. It can affect our entire lives. So I think, yeah, we're commanded to be aware of what teaching and leaven will allow into ourselves and how it can affect our spiritual growth and walk with Christ. We should be disciplined by the word of God and remain consistent in the word. Otherwise, we can open ourselves up to other influences that can stray us away from our walk. In verse 17, it says, "Why are you saying we have no bread?" I think the main message is, do you not yet understand? We often see God move, but our doubts can cause us to lose sight of who God is and what he has done. Our past experiences with the Lord should be used to teach us. We should remember and reflect on them. We lose sight of them, and we lose sight of God and his word. And in verse 23 to 26, we hear about the blind man. What's really interesting about this is that Jesus heals it in two stages. First, I think that's really important. I think that Jesus is being really intentional here. Just as the man's faith is increasing gradually, Jesus can allow things in our lives, and we can have stages where he is working, but we cannot see it, just like the blind man. That does not mean that in the end it will not work out for our good, because Jesus does restore. Verse 27, he asks, "Who do you say I am?" I think this is a very important question, and it makes me wonder, who do we see Jesus as? How does this affect that we treat him or what we believe of him? And also Peter's lack of understanding. It shows that we don't always understand what Jesus means when he talks to himself, and it challenges us to fully comprehend the true image of Jesus. What does this look like? His sacrifice, his resurrection, and his power. Also, who do we say Jesus is? And are we ever hesitant to bring something to him? Do we ever put human limits on an all-powerful God? And do we ever struggle to trust him? Verses 22 to 26, the main message I took away was, when God's work feels incomplete, we need to remember that he is not finished, that he is still working ways that we don't see, and that he doesn't let his work go unfinished. When our sight still feels blurry and it's hard to see and understand what he is doing, he is still building us up and he's still working within us. His grace is not half measured, his power is not limited, his plan is not on pause. We can wait and we can trust in him. From verse 34 to 38, it talks about taking up our cross. I think we often love the cross as a Christian symbol. We often wear them around our necks or we use them in clothing and other things, but we often miss the weight of the cross. So other than just the physical weight of carrying a massive wooden cross that he would later be crucified on, it also shows, you know, the suffering and the spiritual weight that he took on, all of sin, and that sacrifice of dying for us. The cross is a symbol of self-denial, of suffering, and of sacrifice. To take up our cross is a daily commitment to live as Jesus did. We are not called to comfort, we are called to surrender. To move forward, we must leave all of ourselves at the foot of the cross. We must be willing to lose parts of our own life to make room for Jesus. It makes me wonder, what parts of our lives do we still cling to? What we're not willing to give to Jesus, but what can he restore within us? So now I just want to close with a prayer. I think the main message is, you know, those who are waiting on the Lord may struggle to trust him, but we can always rely on his strength because he will always provide. So Father God, I want to thank you for today. I want to thank you for the service. I want to thank you for all the people here. May our spirit dwell in this place, Lord. May we know that you are a good provider. You are Jireh. You will provide for us. And that you are worthy of our trust, Lord. You are worthy of our praise. And we thank you today, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen.